I would like for you to turn in your Bibles to the passage listed in your bulletin. Do you have a bulletin? The bulletin lists Genesis 37, 46. Thank you. I put a mistake in the bulletin, and you noticed it just now anyway. I wanted to see if anybody tried to turn there so that we would note there is no Genesis 37, 46. That was my mistake. What I would like you to turn to is Genesis 46 and verse 2. Last part of Genesis, in fact, the focus of one-fourth of this book has to do with Joseph, and I've told you before that the story of Joseph is one of my favorites in the Bible. Many messages could be preached on his life and have been preached on his life. But tonight I want to focus on the revelations in his life. You'll notice that the title of the message is Visions of the Night. I want us to take some lessons from the revelations in the life of Joseph. In other words, the things that God revealed to Joseph through dreams and visions, or those in his family. Now, at the outset, I want to say this. There are some who claim dreams today, that they have special revelations from God, visions and dreams. In fact, some will equate a vision experience as a salvation experience. I've said this to you before, but I want you to note that this is the truth. This is something that I was talking about to somebody when I was trying to witness to them. I asked them about their salvation, if they had ever been saved, and they said, yes. I said, please tell me about that. They said, well, I once woke up in the middle of the night. I don't know if it was a dream or if it was a vision, but I saw Jesus standing at the foot of my bed. I know I'm on my way to heaven. What do you think about that? An angel appeared, somebody said. You know, Muhammad said that an angel talked to him too. And Joseph Smith said that an angel talked to him. People excuse what they do today with, well, God told me. Even if it contradicts the word of God, they say, well, but God told me. And what we have taking place so much today is that people are elevating experience over the word of God. Brad Pierce and I were talking about this before the message tonight, about empiricism. And I'm getting to know that word a little bit better. And it's fascinating to me how that people take what happens to them in an experience and an observation that they make and say that this is truth simply because they had an experience. And when you elevate experience above God's word, one person's experience is just as valid as another person's experience, even if those two experiences contradict each other. Now what do you have? Confusion. Nowhere are we ever commanded to seek visions or dreams. Nowhere are we encouraged to rely upon them. Why is that? Because God has given us his word. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's how you and I know where to go. That's how you and I know what to do. Through the word of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. God tells us to study his word and to rely upon it. Nowhere are we commanded to seek visions or dreams. Now, that having been said, let me say this. Before the Bible was written, before God's word was inscripturated, God would speak to men directly. You'll read in Genesis chapter 12 that God said unto Abram. You'll read that God spoke to Lot in Sodom or to Lot in Sodom through the angels he sent to that city. That God, in chapter 22 of Genesis, called out from heaven. And Abraham had visions, and Jacob had dreams. In fact, you know of Jacob's ladder. God would give these men dreams. It's clear that God would reveal to man, and his method before the word of God was inscripturated was through the dreams and visions. The title of my message tonight is taken from Genesis chapter 46 and verse 2. And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night. Visions of the night. And by the way, Genesis 46 is the last of such revelations connected to the man Joseph. There are four such revelations, three sets of dreams and one vision. One set is the three dreams that Joseph dreamed, that were connected with Joseph. Two of which he dreamed, four of which somebody else dreamed. One vision is his father Jacob's. Is there anything we can learn? Anything for us from these? Yes. That's why I've called this Lessons from the Revelations in the Life of Joseph. God speaking to these men through dreams and visions. God speaking to us through his word. So I've got 4 points tonight that go along with these four revelations. And the first point is this. I want us to look at the problem revelations in Genesis chapter 37, verses 5 to 11. These dreams were perplexing. These dreams were provocative. These dreams were prophetical. Two dreams. And I believe the lesson we have here is a lesson on impact. Genesis 37, 5 through 11. You'll see the first part of the chapter, verses 1 through 4, is talking about Jacob and introducing Joseph as the one that Jacob loved more than all his children. And you'll notice the response of his brethren in verse 4. They hated Joseph and could not speak peaceably unto him. Then verse 5, and Joseph dreamed a dream. And he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. You'll see here that even his brothers recognized that dreams had meaning. Verse 9, and he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren and said, behold, I've dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? Again, you'll see that even Jacob, his father, recognized that dreams had significant meaning to them. And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. Here we see that these revelations, these dreams, had an impact in his family, on others, but not upon Joseph at the time. These dreams came in pairs. Joseph has these two dreams. You'll notice that when he gets into prison, the dreams there, the butler and the dreams in pairs. When Pharaoh had his dreams, it came in pairs. One had to do with the kine or the cattle. One had to do with the grain. They came in pairs. Here we have the obeisance of the sheaves. Then you have the obeisance of the stars bowing down to what they are interpreting it as Joseph. Now, they did not know the interpretation for sure. You'll see the question in verses 8 and 10, shall? Is this really what's going to take place, Joseph? So they did not know the interpretation. Joseph told it to his family, the dreams. His father rebukes him, but then his father gives him a possible interpretation. And the Bible says his father observed what had taken place. He kept it in his heart. And then you read that his brothers hated him because he was loved more than they. Verses 5 and 8, they hated him more for his first dream and his words that he would reign. Verse 11, they envied him after he reveals the second dream. Verse 18, they conspire against him because of his dreams. It's all because of his dreams. Look at verses 19 and 20. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say, some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. It all centered on what God had revealed to Joseph, and he doesn't even know what it means yet. In verses 23 to 24, they mistreat him. In verse 28, they sell him. I want you to note the natural progression of hatred. And most of the hatred is directed against Joseph because of what? Because of what God had revealed to him. Because of the dreams. And Joseph himself does not even know the interpretation. He simply spoke what actually occurred in the dreams. All he is doing is relating what his dreams were about. What could his brothers get angry about? Perhaps that he was confident enough about his dreams that he would tell others. You know, today people say, you know, it's okay if you believe the Bible as long as you keep it to yourself. Just don't wear it on your sleeve. Just keep it to yourself. Is that what a believer is supposed to do? We were studying in the adult Bible class this morning, Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4, and how that many people were beheaded because of their testimony for Christ and for the Word of God. There's somebody who didn't keep it to themselves. Joseph, you'll see in his life, always got, so to speak, the short end of the stick. His mother Rachel died when he was only 6 years old. He spent 13 years in slavery and prison, chapter 39, but he always remains confident. And something I appreciate about Joseph, he always does his best wherever God lands him. If he's in that house of Potiphar's, he does his best. He puts his heart into what God has given him to do. And it's noted in that chapter 39 that God was with him. He's confident. But I want you to note the contrast with his brothers. Go with me to chapter 42. And this is when his brothers appear before him and they don't know that Joseph is on the throne talking to them. And in chapter 42 and verse 20, Joseph says to them, bring your youngest brother unto me, so shall your words be verified and ye shall not die. And they did so, and they said one to another, we are verily guilty concerning our brother in that we saw the anguish of his soul. They're referring to Joseph. By the way, Joseph is hearing them say this. When he besought us, and we would not hear, therefore is this distress come upon us. And Reuben answered them, saying, spake I not unto you, saying, do not sin against the child, and ye would not hear. Therefore, behold, also his blood is required. And they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spake unto them by an interpreter, and he turned himself from them and wept. Joseph is hearing them now say right in front of him, they don't know that Joseph understands. And Reuben speaks up and says, don't you remember? I told you not to hurt him. See what's happening to us now because of what we've done? Joseph's brothers second guess everything that happens to them. Everything negative that happens to them is the result of some previous negative action on their part. But notice that when negative occurrences or circumstances occurred in Joseph's life, he accepted them as from God and moved on. These are problem revelations in chapter 37 because these are passages that cannot be, these are dreams that cannot be figured out. And there are problem revelations for us in the Bible, things we can't completely figure out. Example, Sunday school this morning. There are some things we just don't know. We can't predict exactly when the Lord's going to return. But the world hates to hear about it anyway because it bothers them. I remember when I was on, I had just taken the job as information desk assistant supervisor at Bob Jones. And this was back in 1983 when BJU was in the news all across the nation because of the IRS case. The IRS was suing the university for one of their policies. And there were newspaper reporters coming on campus all the time. So I had the responsibility sometimes of taking newspaper reporters around campus. And this lady was from the Washington Post, not the Washington Times, the Washington Post. And I had to take her around campus, and she was quizzing me on what we believed. Well, at the time, I was taking this class called Eschatology, the study of last things. And she was asking me, so what do you think about the last days? What do you think's going to happen? Oh, she did not realize some of the answers I was giving her. I was telling, you know, well, things are going to get worse and worse and so forth and so on. And she was just incredulous. She was writing things down, and there it was in the Washington Post a few days later. Some things she's misquoted me on, made me look like a dunderhead. Some things she got right. But she was just like, you really believe the Bible? Yes, ma'am, I do. Problems for people. Problem revelations. Sometimes even things we don't completely understand. And it's interesting that Joseph, at the time he dreamed these dreams, didn't know the interpretation. Now, I find that interesting because then you get into the next set of dreams, and these men relate their dreams to him, and he interprets their dream. Then he gets before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh asks for interpretations of his dream, and Joseph can interpret his dreams. But Joseph can't interpret his own. God did not reveal that to him. Isn't it interesting how that sometimes God doesn't reveal things to us? I'm not talking about his word now. I'm talking about sometimes things in our lives, things that we don't understand. And yet years later, we look back and go, now I see. I see how God used that in my life. In fact, this is chapter 50 and verse 20 of this book of Genesis, when Joseph's brothers come to him and say, you know, what are you going to do to us? You know, Dad's died. Now he's really going to get revenge. And Joseph says, you know what? You meant evil against me, but God meant it unto good. Joseph looks back and he sees that perfect picture, how God had allowed things to happen, even to Joseph's hurt. And Joseph said, you know what? You tried to do evil to me, but listen, God meant it unto good to save us alive today. And folks, there are things that happen in our lives that I don't understand why this is happening. But I, if I'm in God's will, can rest assured God has a plan. God has a purpose for it. These dreams God sent to Joseph finally make sense. Go to chapter 42 and verse 9. This is 21 years later. 21 years after Joseph dreamed those dreams. Look at chapter 42 and verse 9. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them, and that's when he said, you are spies. All of a sudden, it comes to him. My brothers are bowing down to me. Now, why didn't his brothers remember that? But Joseph remembered. There's the problem, revelations that Joseph had. Then we see in chapter 40 the prison revelations, and these are some revelations that God gave to Joseph in interpreting the dreams of both the butler and the baker. It says in verse 5, they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house, saying, Wherefore look ye so sadly today? And they said unto him, We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. Notice what Joseph says here. Do not interpretations belong to? They belong to God. Tell me them, I pray you. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, In my dream, behold, the vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches, and it was as though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said unto him, This is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days, yet within 3 days, drum roll, shall Pharaoh lift up thine head. Now when I read that, I'm thinking, man, Pharaoh's going to take his head off. That's not what he's talking about here. And restore thee unto thy place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. But think on me, when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house, for indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. Now, when the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, I also was in my dream, and behold, I had three white baskets on my head. And in the uppermost basket there was of all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh, and the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. Let's stop right there. Here we have a lesson on impartiality. Joseph very easily could have given the chief baker a pleasant and positive interpretation. But it would not have been accurate. Joseph would not have been faithful to the word of the Lord. Go back to verse 8, I emphasized it. Joseph said to them, Do not interpretations belong to? In other words, the interpretation Joseph is going to give is going to reflect upon? Wow. But this is bad news. This is going to offend him. Man, if I tell him what's really going to happen to him, Joseph could be thinking, he's not going to like me. But Joseph said it like he saw it. Joseph was, get it, brutally honest. What difference would it make if Joseph would just concoct a positive but false message for the baker? The baker could have 3 more days of pleasant living. Temporal optimism. Only the last minutes of his life would be terror. Or Joseph could have said nothing. He could have gone along with the little moniker that says, better left unsaid. I don't want him to feel guilty. But what God had revealed, Joseph relayed. He was impartial in what he was saying. If the revelation was positive for the butler, he said it. If it was negative for the baker, he said it. Folks, there are people today who demand only positive messages from the Bible. Watch what you say so nobody is offended. Well, that's the kind of doctors I like. I go to doctors who only tell me things I want to hear. That was sarcasm. Is that what you do? You find a doctor who's going to tell you what you want to hear? Or do you want to go to the doctor who says, hey, listen, here's the problem. You're going to have to lose a lot of weight. Or you're going to have to do, I'm sorry, you're going to have to start running. You're going to have to start exercising. You're going to have to cut your diet, buddy. I don't want to hear that. But that's what I need to hear. These are lessons on impartiality. These are the prison revelations. 2 dreams. One's good and Joseph says it. One's bad and Joseph says it. Now we're going to go back to that when we get to this next one. The palace revelations, chapter 41. 2 dreams. a lesson on importance. The dream that is given in chapter 41 to Pharaoh is given twice because of its importance. Look at chapter 41 and verse 32. Joseph says the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God and God will shortly bring it to pass. This is an important dream. It was determined by God to happen soon. Now, you get to chapter 41, and this is 2 years later. Pharaoh has these dreams in the first 8 verses. Nobody can interpret these dreams. Look at the last part of verse 8. There was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh. It's like the chief butler all of a sudden hits himself in the head, goes, "Oh, I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants and put me in ward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream in one night, I and he. We dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream, and there was with us a young man, an Hebrew, servant of the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams, and to each man according to his dream, he did interpret it." Verse 13, folks, notice. "And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged." Folks, back up a little bit. Go back to that previous chapter. What if Joseph had given in to the temptation to say, "You know what? This guy's only got 3 days to live. I'm going to be positive to him." That would not only have reflected upon God because he had not told him the right thing, but Joseph later, you know the story, he would have never been exalted. Because at this point, the chief butler could say, "He gave me a positive message and he gave him a positive message." In fact, he wouldn't even be coming before Pharaoh to say, "This guy said everything and it came to pass." He would say, "This guy was a false. This guy was a fake. It didn't happen." He would have never recommended Joseph. He would have seen the false interpretation. And in the long run, Joseph would have been discredited. Folks, here's the application. The long run is important. Don't be short-sighted. We will often back off to save us in the moment, not realizing that that can have an impact down the road. If I am not, maybe brutally honest isn't the way to say it, but sometimes we have got to be brutally honest with people about their soul's condition. "Oh, I don't want to offend somebody. They won't come back to church, or they will never let me witness to them again." And what they need to hear is the truth. Being nice and being positive may build a church quickly, but I don't know if it's going to be a permanent situation. Joseph would have not been recommended to Pharaoh. In prison, you see the importance of being brutally honest. In the palace, you see the importance of having been brutally honest. Palace revelations. And then we get to the last one. It's the promise revelation in chapter 46. This is the one that Joseph's father has. Jacob has heard that his son Joseph is still alive. Chapter 45. You're in chapter 46. Just look at the previous chapter. Verse 26. "The brothers came to Jacob, their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. And Israel," or Jacob, "said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die." Notice chapter 46, 1. "And Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here am I. And he said, I am God. the God of thy father, fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again, and Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. Here's a lesson on impossibilities. This is not a dream. This is a vision. It's more the idea of seeing something with the physical eye. It does not need to be interpreted. It is plain. Here's the thing that strikes me about this vision. God could have just as easily revealed this to Jacob years before. When his boys came home and lied to his face and said, we've got this coat of many colors. We don't know whose it is. Can you identify it, Dad? And his dad, in tremendous grief, says, that's my son Joseph. And his heart fainted. The brothers wouldn't reveal it to him. They lied to him. And God could have just as easily back then done exactly what he said. He could have said to Jacob exactly what he said in verse 4. Joseph is one day going to put his hand upon your eyes, Jacob. For all those years, God allowed him to think that he had lost his favorite son. Folks, we sometimes falsely think that God does not want us to ever experience turmoil or pain. You remember Dr. John Vaughn? His little daughter, I forget how old she was, Becky, was burned almost beyond recognition just as I think she was 2 years old in that house fire. The pain that he went through. And you don't know why did God allow that. But then you look and a school was founded called Hidden Treasure Christian School for young people like his little daughter who had disabilities. No such Christian school anywhere like that. And God has used that Christian school mightily. A lesson on impossibilities. It was impossible for Jacob to be comforted. You go back to chapter 37, verses 34 to 35. His sons were trying to comfort him, even as they lied to him. And it says he would not be comforted. Now God promises Jacob that he's going to see what at one time he thought was impossible. The son he thought he lost, he will put his hand upon his eyes. And not only that, go to chapter 48 and verse 11. When Jacob is blessing Joseph's sons, Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God has showed me also thy seed. He has done abundantly above all that I could ever ask or think. He has given me so much more. And what seems impossible for you to endure right now, God can use to accomplish his purposes. If we submit our purposes to higher purposes, that is to God's purposes. Four lessons from the revelations in the life of Joseph. And I pray that we would be faithful not only to learn them, but to apply them. Even if I can't make sense out of God's word right now, remember, one day it will make sense. That's a lesson on impact. The lesson on impartiality, be brutally honest in the application of God's word. That's a lesson on impartiality and on importance. And then the last lesson, see through the eye of faith the promises of God's word. A lesson on impossibilities. Joseph was a man who put his trust in God and is listed in the hall of faith where we were this morning, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11, 22, by faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Joseph could look 400 years down the line and say, listen, when God brings Israel, you, my brothers, and our posterity, when he brings us out, you make sure you take my bones with you. And indeed, you'll read later on, when they left Egypt, it's duly noted, and they took the bones of Joseph. Joseph is a man who had a close relationship with the Lord through many difficult times. But Joseph was a very honest person when it came to God's word and what God had revealed to him. May we, folks, take lessons from this. Father, thank you for your word, your revelation to us. You have revealed to us, not through dreams and visions that we have, but through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit upon men who lived years ago, who wrote down you using their personalities and their different backgrounds, who wrote down the word of God through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Thank you for your word. May we, each of us, and I pray this for all those seated before me and myself, Lord, may we be students of your word. May we each day come to your word and ask for you to reveal to us that which you have for us. May we know you. May we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray this. Amen.